Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And today we're going to be talking about China. And our Christian brothers and sisters, right now it's reported there's 130 million Christians underground in China. And I'll tell you, the house church movement has just really exploded in China. So many are meeting and they're gathering, and reports are astonishing to see what God is doing in a communist country where believers in the church is just thriving. And right now, what's happening is that the government, for whatever reason now, is literally pulling down crosses off buildings, church buildings, and the believers there are responding in great numbers. They're actually tying themselves to the cross. You know, you got to understand that right now, as believers in the West, those of us that live in the United States, we got to begin to start seeing ourselves as global Christians. We got to see ourselves part of the part of the bigger picture and the bigger family of God, and we got to be able to start having empathy for our brothers and sisters that are going through so much persecution today. Because let me tell you, that persecution is soon about to come on the United States. I want you to watch this clip from CBN as they talk about what's happening in China. Watch this.
I want to turn now to China, where believers are fighting back after officials in Zhejiang province tore down more than 1,500 crosses from church buildings. You can hear Christians praying and weeping as they watch their cross being removed. Now, some believers are practicing civil disobedience by strapping themselves to crosses to protect them from being taken away. Others are building hundreds of wooden crosses, painting them red, and putting them on top of homes and along the roadways. This takes place as China carries out a nationwide crackdown on human rights attorneys and advocates. More than 200 have been arrested since July 9th. Here in America, Representative Chris Smith says the Obama administration should make these issues a priority when China's president visits the country in September.
The issue of religious freedom must be addressed by the administration during a planned summit in September. But we must ask whether this summit should even take place. There are many issues in the U.S.-China relationship that need attention, but does President Xi Jinping's, given his bold disregard for human rights and his brutal suppression of dissent, does he deserve to get the red carpet treatment in Washington?
This is so important. When you look at those our brothers and sisters, those Christians in China that were strapping themselves to the cross, what's happened to us? Have we looked at the cross and we've made them part of our jewelry and part of our necklaces, maybe our earrings, and it's become a fashion statement? But have we forgotten what took place on the cross? What Isaiah 53 actually describes, what Isaiah talks about, that Jesus' body was marred beyond human likeness. It's time that we get back to the cross. It's time that we start preaching and teaching the full price that Jesus paid for us to be forgiven, for us to be healed, and for us to be walking in victory. We want you to join us in our program as we talk about everything that Jesus paid for and the authority that he's given the believer.
Just the visualization, while there's people on a rooftop from their government that's literally taking a jackhammer to tear down the cross. And then to see people tie themselves to the cross, I feel so convicted when you see that open, just like you're saying, that they're just devoted, their passion to just say, listen, I don't want to just talk about it.
Yeah.
I want to tie myself to everything that the cross is, because you're not going to just tear down the cross.
Well, think about it. It's because of the cross.
Yeah.
It's because of the cross we live. It's because of what happened mm-hmm. on that cross that we have salvation. We have healing. Mm-hmm. And I think about it. I mean, we got to return. We got to start hearing in America preaching about the cross mm-hmm. of Christ, the ultimate price that Jesus paid. When you really think about it, and you think about what Jesus had to go through, that he left all the splendor of heaven mm-hmm. and was willing to be born of a virgin and walk and to identify himself as a man, fully yeah. God, fully man, to be tempted in every way, yet without sin, and then be willing to go to the cross, to endure its scorn, to endure its shame, a sinless man, a savior of the world. And when we think about the cross, listen, the remedy for the world's problems today has already been dealt with at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how the world is constantly looking for new ways and new helps and new resources and new technologies. But listen, every problem that we face today was already handled on the cross.
Amen.
When Jesus died on that cross.
Right.
Isaiah 53, I love this verse 4, says, "Surely he took up our pain, he bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace, Steve, was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed." Jesus paid the ultimate price. And I think that in today's culture, especially in the West, that has been forgotten. That has been overlooked. How many people are trying to add to their salvation? How many people are trying by works to make themselves right before God? When we understand that Jesus already paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one thing that we can do, Steve, not one thing for A, God to love us more, or two, to make ourselves in right standing to earn any kind of thing from God.
That's right. You know, I think about that, like what you're saying, like everything that we're seeing in the world, it's like, you know, as you're saying, I think about the word think tank. And it's just like we're taking all of these ideas and our resources trying to come up with a new idea to solve the world's problems. And
Jesus said, if I be lifted high, I'll draw all men. If Christ is lifted high, he'll draw all men to himself.
And I think about this, and it says in the book of Colossians chapter 2, it says, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities," says he, who's Jesus, "he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." And it's like every single problem that we're facing, every single problem that we're trying to comprehend, how to handle, how to overcome, it's like it's already been overcome.
Yeah.
We can take everything, lay it at the cross, and just say, "God, forgive me for trying to handle this any other way than you did." And it's like
the simplicity of the gospel.
Exactly. Right? God came down through the form of his son, and he handled every problem on the cross.
Yeah.
Everyone.
It's amazing. You know, if you haven't been informed yet, we're informing you. If you're just tuning into VFN TV, you know, this August the 28th through the 30th, we're having an Awakening Healing Conference here on the Gulf Coast. You don't want to miss it. Of course, register at VFNTV.com, and please do register because space is limited here at the studio. And so we want all that want to come and want to be a part of that to be able to have access, but you have to register. But we are encouraged to have Art Thomas and Greg Lancaster together ministering. It's going to be a wonderful time. And if you get a chance, get this little book. It's called 40 Days Paid in Full. It's an activation manual. And this is great encouragement. I know Steve and I and some of us here are reading this manual. And as you read, it's the kind of a devotional, if you will, but not really. It's designed to kind of help you re-examine some of these truths in God's word that will help us to be activated in moving in healing. And I got to tell you, my experience has been really awesome as I've just been encountering God afresh in these areas. And it's nice to have a consistency of these scriptures and then letting God speak to you. It's nothing like the word of God, you interacting with God, with his word. Because God will speak to you. He'll encourage you, and he'll bring revelation. Mm-hmm. I mean, the word of God is just so powerful. It's living. It's active. And the Bible says it's sharper than a double-edged sword. I mean, be able to judge a heart.
Absolutely. And you know, you said that so powerfully before in regards to the fact that we've gotten away from the simplicity of the gospel. We've gotten away from the power of the cross. Mm. And when you look back and you look at the reality of the blood and the cross, that's where it's at, and to see how refocusing on the things that Jesus focused on, we're going to see the outcome that happened in Jesus's life by looking at that. And it's just like Jesus said, "You will do greater things than these."
Why? Because I go to the Father. Right?
Exactly. And it so challenges me because I'm looking at right now where we are as the church today, and it's just like I'm seeing such a a massive chasm of difference between how the church walked, how Jesus walked, and what we're seeing today. And it's just like, where is the focus on the cross like the disciples focused on, like Jesus focused on? We have to get back to that focus.
Don't you think, too, that so many times, I believe, especially for us living in America, in the West, there's so many trappings that will distract us. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that will pull our attention away from simple devotion to God as if there was any other choice. I think about, we've talked about this before, the revival, the what's happening in Cuba right now is absolutely amazing.
It's beautiful.
It's amazing. They live on $30 a month. And one of the pastors there in Cuba was reportedly saying that, you know, the church gathers almost every night. They're doing the work of the evangelist. They're winning souls. They're praying for people. They're being activated. And he says, namely because they don't have the extra resources to spend on luxury items and technologies and things that will pull them away. And think about it. We've taken all these things that have been available to us in the United States, all of the resources and the monies and the gadgets, if you will, and we've been lost in them. And I look at our Chinese brothers and sisters in China and their devotion and their commitment to God. We need that mm-hmm. desperately in America. Mm-hmm. We need a simple devotion where we're actually spending time with God daily. We've shared this many times on this program that according to George Barna and these statistics that Barna Group has been mm-hmm. able to put together, that 89% of professing Christians don't even read their Bibles. And of the 19% that do, only 3% actually feel responsible for their own spiritual development.
Yeah.
How can we walk in truth? How can we walk with God? How can we walk in power if we're not even spending time with God?
Mm-hmm. You know, you're saying the fact of just like, how do we walk in power? And it's just so, some of the things that it's like, you know, we're talking about that. What God is revealing is, you look at that difference between what we were talking about before, authority and power. You look at that and how Jesus said the Great Commission, how he said, go, I'm giving you all authority. And you see a difference that how Jesus says, go, I'm going to send you, but wait until you're clothed in power. Mm. And it's like, there was that difference of Jesus, okay, I gave you all authority. And I look back on the journey, how, you know, the disciples spent that intimate time, had a relationship with Jesus. They walked with him for 3 years. And in Luke 10, it talks about how Jesus sent them out two by two, right? And they come back, they've done all these miracles. And they're beginning to walk in how Jesus called them to walk. And I'm so challenged in that when I see that difference, how Jesus says, okay, now, but wait though, because I'm going to go to the Father and then I'm going to send you. And he's talking about, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Mm. And it's like, where is that difference? Where is that moment that we're going to say, okay, don't be so quick to just go. I've got to stop and spend time and just get in him and just say, okay, before I can really begin to move in what Jesus has called me to move in, I want to be clothed in what his Holy Spirit, his presence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It's powerful. When we get back for this break, we're going to continue to talk about this more. But listen, the Bible is a very simple, easy book. It's 66 little books put together, and it's God's revelation to us. And everything God says in here, it's true. And we can walk and be with him and do his will each and every single day. We're going to get a chance to talk about more about this because God wants us to move in the authority and the power that he's given us. Listen, our time is now. Mm-hmm. We don't know how many days we're going to have left. And tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. All you and I have is today. We're talking about the cross. We're talking about our brothers and sisters in China. We're talking about authority of the believer and what God has called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about God's awesome word. I mean, when I think that only 19% of professing believers are reading the word of God, it just breaks my heart because this is, life is in the word. This is how we abide and remain in Christ. John 15 says, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. And I think about so much assumption and presumption that we have in our life, which is basically pride, that we can think that we can do anything apart from God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take that approach, we're just pushing God aside and we're moving in great pride. And listen, God resists the proud. We need to be able to know that we need God for every single thing. All human responsibility cannot
if it's going to be done correctly, cannot be done in our own human ability, but it can be done through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And we can become empowered. We can have grace when we approach God and we approach our day humbly. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's not a got to, but it's a get to. And that's the choice that we have every day. We get to spend time with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior, Master, Boss of our lives. And I was thinking about the Bible, Steve, and just thinking about how rich and awesome. And God's truth is in here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a book about God. And I got to thinking that if maybe you or I were tasked with the responsibility of writing a book, you know, for God, about God, maybe like the apostles were, that maybe I'd be tempted to, you know, add, I don't know, a series of volumes to it,
right,
you know,
right.
And I would say, you know, God, maybe we need to extend, you know, maybe you need to extend life a little bit longer because we only have about, you know, 40 books just on your, you know, your toe, let's say, you know what I mean? There's so much. Can you imagine a book about God, his will, his ways, and his truth? It's only 66 individualized books.
Right.
And it really goes against our logical carnal mind because a lot of times we're taught in school that we need more information. Because the more information we have, then we can come to an understanding. We can come to a conclusion. And I remember when God spoke to me and told me directly, he says, I'm not interested in convincing your mind. He said, I'm giving you spiritual truths that are revelation. You think about some of the most amazing scriptures, verses of scriptures, the most powerful truths that are contained in God's word come in a phrase. They're not even a complete sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free. There's not a case-by-case point. There's not, what does exactly free mean? And what do you mean by that? Is that physically free? Is that spiritually free? Is that emotionally free? Is that, no, you're free. And by his stripes, you are healed. Period. And so God's not trying to reach us intellectually. He's trying for us to receive by faith spiritual truths. That's why he doesn't need to contain probably 50 million volumes of a book about him. Is that this is how it is, and it's our job to accept it and to receive it and to believe it and then to be activated in it. And I think a lot of times there's a tendency, a propensity for us to fall into a studying mode where we're trying to convince ourselves of what God is saying instead of simply believing that God's word is true, he said it, and that settles it. How different would that be when we walk in that type of faith in the word of God?
Yeah, we wouldn't. That would totally transform because we wouldn't continue to try to convince it, just say, or look for that additional information like you're saying, because it's not about our head. Or we will have to encounter God in our heart and just say, okay, God, reveal this to me.
Yeah.
Reveal that. And I think about that, like what how the disciples were on the Emmaus Road, that like were our hearts not burning?
Yes.
And that's that difference is like you can have that phrase, like you're saying, how God has said something to you, and it all of a sudden it just unfolds a whole nother depth of his word you've never seen before because it was God revealing himself to you.
And revelation is so important because many are seeking to get information.
Right.
And that's great that you know that the first five books of the Bible are the Pentateuch and you know everything about Leviticus. That's good. But God wants us to go way beyond information. Mm-hmm. He wants us to have revelation. He wants us to have the rhema word, you know, the word in the word for us that day. And he wants manifestation, that once we have the revelation of what God is communicating to us, that it's manifest in our everyday life, that we believe that, yes, healing is for today, that we believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for it all.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, Steve, that it is finished, he meant it.
Yeah.
It is finished. And there's nothing that we have to add to it.
Yeah. And when we read those words, it causes us to almost come face to face with those things of those information, quote unquote, books that we've stacked up, whether it's mindsets, it's things that may have been taught to us. We have to take that and apply it scripturally to say what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's like we'll hear it and say, okay, well, what about this? And it's just like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it causes us to just say, okay, I just got to go based off of what Jesus says.
And are you literally, yeah, are you literally bringing a carnal argument up against the Word of God?
Yeah.
You know, and how often have we seen that? It's like, listen, your carnal argument cannot stand to mm-hmm. biblical truth.
God will frustrate the wisdom of the wise.
Yes, he will. And so we need to begin across the board as a body of Christ to say, God, I'm no longer going to try to figure and look for logic, but with simple childlike faith, I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to receive your word as true, and I'm going to walk it out. Mm-hmm. And I think when we get to see that, and I look at the Chinese Christians, our brothers and sisters in China, and to see, you know, sometimes the reports are that they just have a page, Steve, just a section of mm-hmm. the Word of God. And I think that, you know, because of all these efforts to get Bibles into China, you know, more and more, but I've heard many reports mm-hmm. that they just had maybe a page to read.
Yeah. I've heard reports that there's people that have a page of the Bible that it's not even in their language.
Mm.
And they have that, and they hold it as reverent, and they recognize it as holy. They don't even keep it in their house. They'll travel for miles at night, and they'll bury it because they don't want anyone to take it. Then they'll go, and they'll just basically weep over it, staring at it. They can't even read it.
Wow.
And there's such a reverence, and I've heard additional reports that there are individuals in China that are writing out the entire Bible just so they can have their own copy.
Wow.
While in America, we can go to locations and have stock shelves based off of, well, this is a different color. I like this one, I like this one. And it's just like, when are we going to respond and recognize that we have the entire Bible?
It's
the entire
word,
thing.
His will and his ways are all contained here.
Yeah.
It reminds me of what I've said before in this program, that we're living in a day and time where never in the world's history has there been more ways that you can receive the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
whether it be through DVDs, CDs, downloads, books. Have you been into a Christian bookstore before? There are books for every single topic that you could think of,
mm-hmm.
and yet has that really produced the depthness in the church, the depthness of a believer? And it's time to say, you know what? I'm not going to add anything to the scriptures. I'm going to enjoy what God's truth says, and I'm going to implement them in mm-hmm. my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the difference. Like we were talking about earlier, and it's just like we've tried to add so much to it, and it's just like, no, let's just get back to simply what Jesus focused on. I remember somebody saying before, is like when we return to making that a priority of what Jesus and the disciples prioritized, we're going to see an outcome, what we saw in the book of Acts. And that is the blood, the cross, and repentance.
Mm.
It's that simple.
It's that simple. And when we start walking in the authority that Christ has given us, he said, I've given you authority to trample over snakes and scorpions. He's given us authority to pray for the sick, to cast out devils. And you think about this, one thing I've noticed about authority is that it's not just important to have it, but you've got to know that you have it.
Yeah, and believe it and have confidence
in it. And exercise it.
Oh, yeah. That's the huge difference, is because if you don't realize that if you have that, you're not going to, you know, if you think about it.
Not going to use it.
If you get into a car, you have the full confidence that when I turn that key, it's going to start on. And then the amazing thing is all I have to do is I have to push this little rubber, metal, plastic piece a couple inches, and I can take a cluster of metal, sometimes up to a ton, and it's going to go 55 miles an hour. But if you don't believe that, you're not going to exercise that ability.
Yeah. Authority is defined as being given the allowance, the permission, the right to take action, to command, to govern. And God has given us that. Listen, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're walking in godly authority to make that synchronization happen. And we see that the demonstration of God's kingdom being activated when we walk in the authority that God's given us.
Mm-hmm.
And today we look at healing and we say, listen, are we really seeing that today in our lives? I mean, every single person that Jesus prayed for was absolutely healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're looking at theology, you know, and find out what the scriptures say. I would say that Jesus is perfect theology. I mean, whatever happened in Jesus' life is probably good for you and me, right? And everyone that he prayed for, they all got healed.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we, I guess, dummy that down? And I like what Daniel Kalinda said. He is an evangelist with Reinhard Bonnke's Ministries. And in the Paid in Full documentary on healing, I thought it was really amazing because Daniel said that for so long, the church at large, we have, you know, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but we've said that healing is something that maybe is a special gift that if maybe a few evangelists have or some people in the church move in, or that maybe it is the pinnacle of faith, if you will, that once I get to that level, then I can pray for the sick. And because we've put it on that level, very few believers actually go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. Jesus meant for all of us to walk in the authority and the power that he's given us. And he said, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And it's time for us to be activated in that like never before, that we preach the full gospel, which is not just the word, right? But we come in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Paul said, I didn't come with eloquence of words, but I came in the demonstration of the Spirit's power. It's show and tell. And I see many times in the scriptures that that once Jesus ministered a physical healing to someone, they were very open to following him, to making him Lord. And we see that here many times today, that just by being touched by God, people respond to him.
Yeah, there's that big difference. Is I think about what you said before in regards to those simple phrases. And we try to add so much of it, like you're saying.
Well, scriptures,
like,
truths.
Right. And one of the things that just changes your perspective, like you're saying, if you understand that authority, when you look at it in Ephesians, it says God raised us up with Christ and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
And it's so often it's like I think about, like you're saying, in regards to healing, if we're seeing someone and we want to pray for them, it's almost like we're speaking to it from a perspective of where we are, as opposed to Jesus is next to the Father.
Yeah.
Right? He's on the throne. He's been given authority over everything. But if we're trying to live a life just saying, okay, hey, you know, be healed, and it's just like, no, we're with Christ.
We have that same authority.
Right. We're in him, in the heavenly realms, on the throne.
Yeah.
How differently would we look at somebody with a headache if we were seated in Christ, next to the Father?
If we walked in that revelation.
Yes.
Listen, God is healing and touching people. And guess what? He wants to do it through you. I want you to listen to Art Thomas as he talks about propaganda and the power of testimonies. When you have a testimony, you want to make sure that you share it because you're giving glory to God and that the enemy loses. Watch this.
Jesus told me this morning, he said, I want you to use testimony like war propaganda. Yeah, and he said, here's what I mean. Number one, it rallies the troops. Number two, it recruits new soldiers. And number three, it intimidates the heck out of the enemy. Yeah, war propaganda, buddy. I'm just telling what my God does. And here's the only difference between testimony and war propaganda. Testimony is all true.
How powerful is that?
Beautiful.
Use your testimony as war propaganda. Because this is what we want to do. We want to give all the glory to God. This is truth. This is what God is doing. And the more we share, guess what? The more will happen. And, you know, Steve, I was thinking about what you were talking about being seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You know, the scriptures tell us that the same power in Ephesians 1, the same power as the mighty strength that exerted when Christ was raised from the dead and he was seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms, he is positioned far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. And at the very name that is invoked, not only in this present age and the age to come, but he is positioned far above, and we're positioned with him.
Hallelujah.
We're partakers of that authority.
That's right.
So we can say, like David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You know what I'm saying? We can come against the things that try to come against the things of God and reposition them and reclaim them and take authority over them. I mean, this is what we need to walk in.
Absolutely. Yeah, but just like you said earlier, if we don't believe that, we're not going to walk in it. if we don't see that and see ourselves with him, we're not going to believe it. Because it's a difference for someone to just speak, and it's a difference for someone that speaks in authority.
Yeah.
Because they have true understanding and confidence that the words that they say bring truth, bring life, or power.
Yeah, and it's authority in the name of Christ, because we're not literally doing anything since Jesus already paid the price. He's the one that did it.
Right.
All we're doing is appropriating and declaring what Jesus Christ already did in the situation. So it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken care of, and that's the faith that we have. I mean, think about the cripple that was healed when they were walking into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, don't look at us as if it was because our own godliness and righteousness that this man is standing, but it comes through the faith of God's name,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he was healed and he's standing before you here today. And this is what it's all about. You know, we don't know how much time we have left here on earth. We really don't. You know, there's a saying, if you will, says yesterday is over with and tomorrow may never come. But today's a gift. That's why they call it the present. And I tend to think about what would happen if all the things that were distracting us in a time like this, all the things that are vying and are competing for our time, what would happen, Steve, if the church really dedicated themselves to their first love, God? What would happen if we would wake up in the morning with him on our mind and go to bed with him on our mind? What would happen if we devote ourselves to God's teachings and his truth and his word and his will and his ways? What would happen if we walk in agreement and walk in the authority that God has given us? My goodness, I can tell you what's going to happen. You know, blind eyes are going to open, people are going to get saved, they're going to give their life to the Lord. And so many today, because we've been talking about how it's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times based upon what God has shown us and what God has shown others. But also, a lot of people are waiting, a lot of believers are waiting for a revival to come. They're waiting for an awakening to come. Have you ever considered that maybe you may be the spark? May you ever consider that God wants to do that revival in your own heart first,
mm-hmm.
and that will spread like a wildfire. Instead of looking for someone else and say, God, here I am,
mm-hmm.
you know, use me. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about the authority of the believer, the price that Jesus paid, and that the time of activation is now. We're talking about authority and the power that God affords us as believers to walk with him, united with him, in the demonstration of God's power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's needed in the time, especially in the days that we're living in right
Absolutely.
Now. And God has called us to this. And we've been talking about that it's not just enough to know that you have authority, or you know that you have to be aware of it, you've got to know it,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to exercise it. Unexercised authority. Think about how many believers right now have been given authority because Christ has given it to them. He says, all authority in heaven has been given to me.
Yeah.
And I give it to you.
Yeah.
But how many are functioning and exercising in the authority that's made available to them?
Yeah.
And thus moving in power.
And I think about what you said right before the break by saying the fact that, you know, we want revival to come and we're crying out and we're believing God and asking him for it. And it's so challenging because one of the things you said, what about that spark? Maybe you're that person. And I look at the book of Acts, I look at what happened before them and how the disciples had such a process of, they were humbled and they had that 3-day process of, they were just broken because Jesus was crucified. And it was just like, imagine the sense of repentance that was upon them and their humbleness and their humility. And it's like, we want the books of Acts to happen, but we don't want to repent. We don't want to acknowledge that, dear God, I want a holy manifestation of your presence and try to do it unholy in myself.
Yeah.
And I came across a quote, and this was by Frank Bartleman, who was involved in the Azusa Street revival. Mm-hmm. And he said, the depth of your repentance will determine the height of your revival.
Wow. Say that again.
He said, the depth of your repentance will determine the height of your revival.
Wow.
And you've got it. We had on one of our recent programs, Pastor Broadon Park was talking about what God was speaking to him about. And he's like, you know, okay, now that I say this, how what do I say to people? And the Lord said, get your house in order.
Yeah.
And he's talking about this house. And I even think back on Elijah when he was on the top of Mount Carmel and he brought down fire from the Lord. But what did he do first? He prepared the altar. He had an offering on the altar. And it's like, we want a fire, a move of God to come. We want God to come down in fire, and we want it on an empty altar.
Yeah.
We've got to sacrifice ourselves. And I'm not talking about works or in the flesh, but I'm saying we have to be willing to die to ourselves to walk a crucified life. Jesus says you must be willing to crucify yourself.
Well, uncrucified flesh is the open door for so many things that come into someone's life. And Jesus said to pick up your cross and follow me. You cannot even be my disciple unless you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about how so many today have been content to have a visitation, but are not willing to do what they need to do so that they can have habitation.
Mm.
Big difference. You know, I felt good. The Spirit of God moved, and that's it. You know, it's done. Well, we can begin to start seeking God for a habitation, for God to be in our midst so that we can have an open heaven above us, above our community, above the family, and so that we can do the works of God. Time is limited, and the goal has not changed. Newsflash, it hasn't changed. The goal, heaven full, hell empty, that's still the mission, and we have to be about the Father's business, and that's making disciples. And I'm so honored right now, and just to be a part of just a bunch of family believers that's what we're doing. We're making disciples, and we have simple plans that you can get started and you can help others get started at iabide.org. iabide.org. You can go to vfntv.com as well and get some more information. But by going there to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan on how you and you can help others begin to have an abiding relationship with God, where you can walk with him and talk with him and know his ways, and he'll begin to speak to you about things in your life and things that he wants to get to you and through you. And that's the relationship that God's called us to.
Absolutely.
But this casual reading, this casual engaging of God is not going to bring the revival that we desperately need.
Amen. And that's a huge thing, is because it realizes that we need a move of God, not a move of man.
Oh, come on.
And that's where it's just like, when will we get so hungry to realize, okay, we've heard it many times before, that if we want to do the same things and expect different results, we're going to get, it's insanity.
Yeah.
We got to come to that realization and acknowledge to ourselves that it's just like, okay, what we're doing is not working, because we're looking at the present results and saying, God, I want a move of God.
Yeah. It makes me think about what Proverbs says, that he who is full loathes honey, but even to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. What is that scripture saying? It's saying that, look, that person who is full, just the thought of having one more thing, even something delicious or sweet, he'll loathe it. He'll find it disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the best way I can describe this is after a good Thanksgiving Day meal, where you've eaten so much food, typically, it's what happens to me sometimes, and that even if someone offers you a slice of pie, although you may want to eat it and normally it's delicious to you, you don't even have room to put it down.
Yeah.
But to the hungry, even what is bitter, even those things that are not as good or as appetizing, they'll take in.
That's right.
And right now, people don't have room. Their plates are so full off of everything else, they don't have room or time for God. To think that we could say that's an excuse that's acceptable. I don't have time to meet with God.
Yeah.
What have we come to, where now we actually have a nation that's calling good evil and is calling evil good? We've lost our moral compass in our own country, where Planned Parenthood, they're selling babies' body parts, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling babies' body parts. These doctors are talking about it allegedly over a meal, over wine, over salad, talking about crushing above and crushing below, and there's no outcry.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's more talk on the news today about a lion being killed than they've actually talked about. I don't know if you saw that in the news, it's Cecil the lion. They talked more about this lion being killed in the wild than they've actually devoted time to the aborting of babies and the 60 million babies that have been aborted.
Yeah.
But can we really look at the world and say they're the problem? Can we say that this moral compass has been shattered? Can we say that that's the problem of the world if in the church, we're not spending time with God and becoming a disciple of Jesus. And today, if you ask the question, you know, do you go to church? And today, so many people go to a church, but I don't think that God's interested in us going to church more than he is in us being the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to get to.
When we understand that God wants us to be in that, to walk in that, because we're going to take what God says and apply it to us. And that's where it's like we're saying we want that move of God. We want that revival. And we're going to see a dramatic difference when we come to that place and say, God, I'm desperate. I'm in that place where whatever it takes, when you're willing to just declare that and just say, whatever you want to do, do in my life what you want to do in the nation.
Yeah.
Do in my life what you want to do in this generation, because it's not going to happen any other way.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I've spoken to many people that when they face a trial, when normally it's a health-related issue, when they're down on their luck, they tend to turn to God during that time. Why wait for a tragedy? Why have a situation come in your life where you need to cry out to God and get really right, if you will? The day of salvation is today. The day to get right with God is now.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves you. He has an amazing plan for your life, and he wants that to be birth. When you think about how short the time is and how many days we actually have left, this is the time to say, God, I'm going to begin to start scraping everything in my life that's stealing me away from time with you. And I'm going to start pulling it off where the only thing that matters, Lord, is have I spent time with you? How different will our lives be if we start talking about the key things maybe that God wants us to do?
Mm-hmm.
So our days get filled and packed with so many things. What if we just boiled it down to, did we love today?
Mm-hmm.
Were we kind today? Were we obedient to God's word today? Did we walk in humility today? Did we abide and spend time today? Listen, if you've incorporated, that was a successful day. No matter what else happens in that day, if you spent time with God, that's the beginning of something that's amazing. And I want to encourage you. We want to pray with you right now because we're believing that God wants to pour out his spirit on the Gulf Coast and all over the nation. And he really is our only hope. But let that spark be with us.
Mm.
Let God stir our hearts and turn our hearts back to him, so that we can have a great move of God that will change the entire world. Father, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, God. We thank you that you love us, that you have a plan for us, that you're not through with America and you're not through with the nations of the world. And Father, we cry out, Lord, for a personal revival. Lord, that you would touch us, that you would touch our viewers. Lord, that we would cry out and not look for someone else or wait for the move of God to come, Lord, but that you would move in us and move us to run after you with everything we have. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Lord, forgive us of the times that we've wasted and the idols that we've made in our own hearts. And Lord, we turn our hearts back to you and we declare you as Lord of our lives. Lord, we ask you to end abortion and send revival in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.